Namaste Manish, namaste everybody.
Namaste.
We are here today to explore a little bit further the way of using mantra. Manish has recently released, since some time already, 2 or 3 years, and also very recently, a series of works in which the mantra was used in a repetition in the chanting style, and most of it is done for 108 times. So we can listen in these tracks a very powerful energy coming from the mantra chanting repetition, and we can also feel that it's energized in a very special and particular way, that it can take us to a very deep space of meditation and alertness when we use these pieces for listening or for meditation or for relaxation or for working on our daily awareness. Manish, we would like first to ask you if you could introduce us a little bit to this world of using mantra for listening meditation, or what is the purpose behind these tracks in which you have recorded mantra chanting for repetition of 108 times or different number of times?
Om Shri Gurudevaya Namaha. Yes, definitely I would share the understanding behind this whole presentation and sharing of the 108 chanting recordings. First of all, to understand this, we must know that the very word mantra means the sound which protects the mind. Another meaning could be that sound which can take you beyond the mind. So in some way that means the destruction of the mind or disconnection with the mind. Mostly, as we know, we live on the level of body and mind. And both these areas have its issues, its problems, its complexities. And a lot of our energy goes into dealing with the problems of the body and mind. Mantra has the capacity to disassociate ourselves with both these things. So provided that mantra is used in the right way, it has this capacity to take us beyond the levels of physicality and mental or psychological, to come in contact with the real sense of being. This is required, and here comes the potential of mantra listening.
Is there any suggestion in which we should do this practice, like any time of the day? Is it better, or is there any preparation required? What is the suggestion? We just sit and play a recording and start listening, or should we energize ourselves or the place or the time of the day in a way that this is effective?
Yes, it is suggested to do in a time when your body is not too much filled with food or anything, preferably in the morning. Otherwise, you can choose a time of the day when body feels light. I would very happily tell you this, that this understanding I have acquired through my spiritual master, Gurudev. And when I started attending his meditation retreats, he was doing this one meditation session every time in his 10 days or 40 day retreats. Sometime around 11 o'clock, this session would be planned and everybody would get together in the meditation hall, and for the first 10 or 15 minutes he would play a certain dance music where we would very actively, enthusiastically, totally participate in the dance. And after about 10 minutes or so, and a little bit rest of 5 minutes, he would ask us to come sitting up straight, ask us to remain still and silent, eyes closed, for the next 40 minutes or so. And during that, he would play a certain recording of a mantra of 108 times chanting. And this would go on about 40 minutes, and then there would be a relaxation time of 5 to 10 minutes of just lying down in that silent space, and then ending with a very simple, beautiful kirtan or a bhajan. Many people ask that, what is this significance of dancing? What is the need of this physical movement? And there is a very scientific and logical reason behind it, is that when you intensely dance, when you move your body, all the restlessness of our body and mind slowly evaporates. If you straight go into sitting silently and listening or even chanting, the mind will be continuously bothering you with its restlessness. The body is also moving a little bit. So there is a purpose behind doing this very intense dance, so that body becomes loose, body becomes free of the restlessness, mind relaxes a bit, mind is a little bit free from all the negative thinking. And then when you sit down to listen to the 108 chanting, there is a totally different space, and you can directly connect with the vibration of the mantra.
As much as I know, some of this work that you have done in this way for 108 times or similar includes the Gayatri mantra, the Hanuman mantra, a mantra for a Buddhist goddess of the white parasol. And then you have a very recently recorded Om Namah Shivaya, also 108 times. Now, if we would like to, for some reason, choose another mantra, then what would you say would be the suggestion to choose? How do we know which mantra, which artist to listen, how to find this material? What is the key to look for the right energized recording?
Well, here I would like to clarify one big myth or misunderstanding, that here in the Western world, when people think or hear about a mantra, they immediately think mantra singing or mantra in a musical form or a concert or this or that. Now, as a trained Indian musician and having grown up in this culture, we naturally have adopted to the art form of singing mantras, and it definitely creates a certain space of sacredness. But to go beyond that, I must emphasize that the real tradition of mantra is mantra chanting, what we know in the East as the Japa Yoga. Mantra Jap or Mantra Jap. And Jap means the repetition. And this repetition is much, much more powerful than what we know as mantra singing. Mantra singing and kirtan definitely brings you into a certain space of heart, a certain space of oneness and relaxation. But the actual purpose of chanting is much more deeper. And chanting really integrates the energy within. And not only that, but also supplies energies to all the five bodies, as it is described in the Eastern system. We call it the Panchakosha, the five layers or the five sheets in the body. It's not only the physical body, but the physical body, the mental body, the etheric body, the spiritual body, and the psychic body. And mantra chanting, or even listening to a recording of 108 times chanted mantra, definitely massages, caresses, and nourishes all the five sheets. Now, for that to access the right source, of course, a lot of artists in India have done great work into creating this kind of 108 chantings of different mantras. Of course, every mantra has its specific purpose on the worldly level, but if we go to access the much more subtle and spiritual benefit of a mantra listening of 108, then I would say in general any mantra would work as long as it is chanted with the correct pronunciation and preferably with the least musical elements. It should not be creating any kind of entertaining element or an element which starts entertaining the mind. A lot of Indian artists have been part of what we call Gurukul or the proper Vedic schools, where they learn the exact proper traditional style of chanting, which has been passed on to them since generations. And these things have been preserved orally through generations, and in that way they have managed to protect the authenticity and the originality of this chanting. So if you can access to those creations would be the best, and in that way, by listening to various artists like that, slowly you will develop an understanding which is the most powerful and which is the most effective creations of 108 chanting.
And one last question, maybe a practical question: when we are involved in this practice and let's say we sit down, we put a candle, we light an incense, we sit cross legs and we close our eyes and we play, I don't know, Om Namah Shivaya, what should be our attitude, our focus or our attention, or what should we do when we are listening? Should we concentrate on the lyrics? Should we know what it means? It doesn't matter. How should be the attitude to do this meditation? What do you suggest?
Well, if you have a little background of the mantra, it is always helpful, knowing about the deity or the meaning. But ultimately, these things are not so important as much as that when you sit down to listen to the 108 chanting, you simply remain still, eyes closed, and then when the recording starts, you remain simply attentive. Not attentive to anything in particular, not to the sound, not to the body, not to any thought. No, nothing. Simply remaining present, simply remaining aware to whatever is happening around you, but not bringing focus to anything in particular. In that way, you will see that slowly, the energy starts integrating within. And what is the ultimate outcome of this is that if you do this regularly, then a space of being is being touched. As you know that our whole struggle in the outer life or in our daily life is to become something, and that is very, very exhausting. A meditation technique like mantra listening can bring you simply to the space of being. In there is no struggle, there is no rush, there is no goal as such to become something. You are just touching the space of being, just being. Not being this or that, but just being. And that's the highest outcome of this meditation technique. This is the best way to get benefited from this process. And then in the end, after having sit for about 30-40 minutes listening to the 108 chanting, you are suggested to lie down for 4-5 minutes so that the energy really settles and balances. And then if you feel like just play a simple kirtan or a bhajan to bring the energy into the heart. So if you, how my masters devised this whole technique is because it's a bit like when you want to meditate in a room, you want to clean the room first. So the first process of dancing is kind of that cleaning process. Then of course the meditation happens a little better, a little smoother, more deeper. And then the whole process of meditation is energy awakening, energy rising, and an energy settling. So this technique really takes care of all those three elements.
That's really very helpful, and all this guidance is really good, because I know that a lot of people many times ask suggestions. Okay, I want to meditate, but I don't know what to do. And sometimes it's very good to be specific at each step of the meditation and what to do, or on what to focus or not to focus, and things like that. So I've been reading in one of your blogs that you quoted your master's book, in which there is a part that apparently he was talking about the mantra meditation. So I would like to, it's only a paragraph which I would like to read, especially for us here in the West, that, you know, what I see is that we always look for the space, for the perfect space for meditation. Like, it has to be silent, it has to be quiet, it has to be nicely decorated, it has to be, there is like one child crying and people already get nervous. And, you know, we don't have a lot of tolerance here like maybe you have in India. So I think that this paragraph describes very well what Gurudev says. He says, when you are sitting with closed eyes, just become receptive to the sound. Just listen to the sound. The crow may be cawing, the dog may be barking, the truck may be passing, the child may be weeping. Maybe in the kitchen the maid has broken a glass. So many sounds are happening at the time. Just be totally, but passively attentive to the sounds. These are very simple methods of cultivating meditation. So this could be, I think, also a good reminder when we are doing the mantra meditation to just remain attentive without judging and without anything else.
Yeah, as somebody will do this regularly, and I can share from my experience that when our master told us to remain attentive, what it does is slowly it develops a certain quality of witnessing. And as much as I've understood, the essence of all spiritual paths is to come to this point where you become a witness. It's not even that there is a person who is witness, there is only a sense, a quality of witnessing. So in that witnessing, there is no judgment, there is no reaction, there is no anger, no jealousy. Beyond all that, there is only a correct response to the situation. And that is the highest point of spirituality. So this technique can definitely bring us closer to that quality of witnessing. The East has called it Sakshi. You are not becoming witness to anything in particular. You are pure witnessing. And that's the highest point.